right. How y'all doing?
Good morning.
Hopefully good. We are in week 5 of our Family on Board series. And for the last couple of weeks, as a part of that family series, we've been talking about being just married. Marriage. And Patrick and Chris have done a great job over the last 2 weeks of kind of framing biblical marriage for us and teaching us some really cool things out of the book of Proverbs. So hopefully you've been following along, maybe doing the reading plan with us through the book of Proverbs. In fact, if you have your Bibles, you can flip those open right now. Take a look in there. The book of Proverbs, we're going to be talking about some of that today. And it's just really cool to hear the perspective and the teaching from these men, from the Bible, about things like resolving conflict and forgiveness and God's purpose and plan for marriage and how to have a great one, because we really do want to. Now, before we move any further, if you are single today, that's cool. That's great. It's awesome. In fact, if you never want to be married, this is like not even on your radar screen, all right? Or maybe you've been married before and now you're kind of in between, or maybe you're newlyweds, or perhaps you've been married forever. Like, you don't remember never being married, all right? This is for you. Proverbs has a message for you. This whole thing today is going to be beneficial, and I hope that that you'll get a lot out of us. I know Lisa and I have had a lot of fun studying and getting ready for this. So I've asked Lisa to come today again and help out. She's got a lot of great perspective and insight for men and women regarding the subject that we're going to talk about today. So hopefully you're ready for this. We already done it once, and I'm not sure we're ready for this again, but the subject is...
Were you warned?
Intimacy. Intimacy, all right? So it's the great gift of God that we call S-E-X. You can say it out loud. You say it with me?
S-E-X.
Okay, thanks. I just see if you can spell. All right, look. Go ahead and check out your sermon notes. Inside your bulletins, you can kind of get a sneak preview there and see what we're going to talk about. And I just kind of make a quick disclaimer that if, you know, you've got young ears sitting next to you, you know, you just kind of, we're not going to get all crazy and kind of stuff like that today. But you have to answer their questions on the way home in the car, all right? So if you think it's better to kind of take advantage, today is a great day to take advantage of our amazing family ministry stuff, all right? So you can leave. And maybe you're just uncomfortable hearing this all together, all right? The Bloodmobile's outside, all right? It's a good time to maybe take a half hour and kind of go out there and kind of do that. But we're going to have a good time, hopefully, talking about this for the next few minutes.
So, my married friends, are you just married? When it comes to real intimacy, how are you doing? I think by the end of this time with us today, you'll have a different take, maybe a refreshment to what we're going to talk about. For those of you who are not married, the Bible gives some great teaching. And I think the one thing we want to do this morning is take back what is God's in the first place. So that's important to us. So intimacy is oneness. It's knowing someone and being known by someone. It is a union, a gift given in love, with love, and for love. And the Bible teaches us a lot about intimacy. Intimacy with each other and with God. So the book of Proverbs alone is packed. So today we're going to talk about a few. Are you ready to go?
All right. So to do this, I'm going to talk about, if it's okay, I'm going to talk about my favorite proverb. All right. I'm just going to focus on one, even though there's all kinds of them that we're going to refer to. It's Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5. So you can go ahead and turn in your Old Testaments. If you have a neighbor next to you, you can kind of help them out with that. But Proverbs chapter 5. And just to kind of set it up, Proverbs, or this particular chapter, Solomon wrote to a son. And it's something that even though it's written to young men, we can all benefit from this great wisdom from God. What he's doing in this chapter, starting at verse 1, is he is warning, telling men to stay away from women who are not his wife. That's the whole premise. And he uses water as an analogy. If you're thumbing through that Proverbs 1 through 17, he's actually using water as an analogy for the blessings, the strength, the energy that we have to give, and telling us not to use those things, not to give those things away to strange women. So we're going to pick up in verse 18, just two verses, but I love these. Okay. Proverbs 5, 18 and 19, follow along with me. All right, ready? May your fountain, this is from the NIV, may your fountain be blessed. Your fountain meaning this, the strength, this energy. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. a loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. Sorry, I'll get... May you ever be intoxicated with her love. And he asks some questions. He goes back to these first 16 verses. He says, why, my son, be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman, a strange woman? For your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all of your paths. Two verses. And this is figurative language. These are word pictures that Solomon is using. It's poetry. Okay? He does it a lot. In fact, this is just the tip of the iceberg for Solomon. He's done it all through Proverbs, and if you flip over just a few pages in your Bibles, you're going to find a book that's written by him called The Song of Solomon, The Song of Songs, and it's a whole book in the Bible devoted to imagery like this. Pretty amazing. Side note, when I was in high school, not a Christian, didn't know the Bible for anything, but I knew there was a book on my family bookshelf that called the Bible that, you know, I guess my parents just kept around or whatever, and somehow, some way, I got the idea that there might be some good material in the Bible for me to include in some love letters to my girlfriends. Not the best motivation to read the Bible, all right? But, hey, you know, got to do what you got. So, guess what? The Song of Solomon was the first book in the Bible I ever read.
Of course. It was.
But that was way before I met this graceful doe, this beautiful young deer, deer here. So we met in college, Lisa and I did. We've been together for 30 years, been married for 28. It seems like a long time ago, but I tell you, it's like yesterday. It truly does. It has just flown by. And I mean, since the time, and you see these pictures on the screen, you know, we were just kids in a lot of those pictures. But since those times, I promise, man, God has led us through all kinds of trials, just about everything you can imagine. And he is faithful. And we would not be sitting here if not for Jesus. We would not have met if not for Jesus. He is the foundation and receives all the glory and the honor for the blessings that he's given us as well. The trials, the victories, all that we've been through. And I'm telling you, this is for real with us. I love being able to speak in front of my family. And that's who you are. And this is my girlfriend. What you see is what you get with us. I still love her like the day I first saw her on our wedding day. And I love this proverb because I do truly still rejoice in the wife of my youth. Lisa's still my best friend. And while it's hard to explain, God is faithful, like I said. And he just does what no one else, when the Holy Spirit does what I can't do as a mortal person. And in our marriage, just isn't good enough without him. But man, he is awesome and holy and perfect.
Absolutely. And where there is 80s hair, you know it was out of the 80s in those pictures. I have to tell you also that those of you that are under like 25, that up there on the left was the first selfie, before selfie was even a thing. Yes, we did take a picture of us kissing.
It took us like
college.
55 takes, okay?
Still. But can I just say that when I first met him, I wanted to be all about him. I wanted to learn everything I could. And isn't this the way when you're enamored with that love, that first look, that glance? But man, girls, I wanted to know everything there was about baseball cards. We even had this game called Status Pro that was a baseball board game that we played it because I wanted to know about baseball. Now, mind you, that has kind of dwindled. I'm still there. I'm watching the baseball as on the TV. But the first and most valuable kind of intimacy for a great marriage is friendship. Friendship's got to come first, no matter how old you are. Relationships all have a beginning, and they should begin with friendship.
Yeah, intimate friendship. In fact, most of what we're going to talk about today, the foundation is that we are friends. That friendship, and that's designed by God. Now, we were all kinds of sexy back then, all right? You still are. Those pictures are, you know, when we were building our friendship, a lot of those shots. But we all know this. And most of us know this. We've been through a number of years together that, you know, as we get older, our bodies mature. They change. Our relationships mature. They change. And the beautiful thing about this idea of intimate friendship is that no matter what happens with our bodies, what they can do or can't do or how they look, what intimate friendship is for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. This is really, I've seen it in older couples. In fact, many of you in the room today. I look up to what you have after 40 and 50 and 60 and 70 years of marriage. And that intimate friendship, man, I want that for us. Thank you. Thank you for your example to us. I want to be that, you know, that couple on the front porch at 90 years old holding hands, you know, and just thinking back. And that's intimate friendship. Mm-hmm. And it's so, so important. Proverbs helps us to have that kind of relationship, that kind of friendship, that kind of marriage. And I think the first thing is to just own this. Be a good friend. Draw a circle around your own chair. I'm going to be a good friend to my husband, to my wife, to the person I'm in a relationship with. Be a good friend. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. All times, especially when times get tough, especially when you just don't feel in love today. Love anyways. Be a good friend. If you mess up, apologize. Humble yourself. Be honest. Be a good friend. Be trustworthy, faithful. All things throughout the book of Proverbs we've been talking about. To be nice, to be nice to each other, joyful. You know, not every day is a great day, but we can have joy. We can have fun together. Have fun together. Be reliable, considerate. In fact, Proverbs 18 talks about being dependable, that a good friend sticks closer than even a brother. Have each other's back, no matter what, at all times. Be a good friend.
Part of that communication is being a good friend is communicating. And girls, we know that men do not communicate the same as women. So do not expect communication to look like you and your girlfriends. You know, when you get with your girlfriends, everything, we can talk about anything, anytime, anywhere.
Forever.
Okay. But the one main point here is gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. The point that I want to send home with you is think before you speak out of emotion, out of anger, out of hurt. That's something that we've done in our marriage and we've practiced is to just speak kindly to each other.
Yep. In Proverbs 21:5, I love this. It says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, and surely as haste leads to poverty. So be diligent. Plan to make time together. Make time to be friends. Make time to get away together and just be friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, and you will profit from it. On the other hand, as the proverb says, you can also be in a hurry, always in a rush, too busy. And as the proverb says, your relationship will go broke. Intimate friendship. Now, how does this happen kind of on a day-to-day basis? How do we do this? And one thing that's so important is to understand that, A, God is number one. God is number one, but this lady right here is number two. She's my best friend. I love Jesus more than anything, but she comes second, and everybody else comes third. No one's going to get in the way of what we have. She's my best friend, and she is my girlfriend, and I want to encourage you to just remember that when times get hard, and also have some other godly friends around you. You know, it's not just the two of us. We have other people investing in our lives, but never forget who your number one is and who your number two is.
And cultivate this for a lifetime. I know empty nesting, when you raise your kids, that can be one of the scariest times in your life, is because you start analyzing your marriage. You start analyzing 18 to 20 years of what did our life look like and what things do we have in common. So when your heart is set on God, my job is to get to know him. And we've gotten to do that over the last couple years of our empty nest when I thought maybe I don't know what I'm going to do. But cultivating friendship for a lifetime is finding new things to be friends about. Find new hobbies together.
Yeah, one thing I try to remember, and maybe this will be helpful to some of you. I like to remember letters. So I remember the letters S-A-L. S-A-L. Maybe it's on the way home from work and I'm just sitting in the driveway for a second, or maybe it's, you know, before I get up in the morning. And those letters stand for stop, ask, and listen. Stop, ask, and listen. This is important to friendship, any friendship, but especially with your spouse. Stop, ask, and listen, and do it face to face. I don't know what's happened over the last few years, but I've noticed in more and more couples communicating via text. I mean, it's like, this is the way you talk to each other now. It's like texting each other. And when you have problems, you're trying to work out your issues over text messages. And it's like, it's not working out. You know, face to face, converse, talk to each other, stop, ask, and listen. Experts say that we are to shoot for 15 hours a week of FaceTime together. 15 hours a week. That's over 2 hours a day. Think about that for a second. I'm thinking, who are these experts, man? That's like 3-5 football games, or I don't know what y'all watch, but I don't know, like every season of Handmaid's Tale or something. I mean, that's a lot of hours. So maybe that's a great goal, but even maybe starting today, take 15 minutes. 15 minutes. Stop, ask, listen. 15 minutes of face-to-face time together to build your friendship. You can do it. And as you're doing it, have fun. Make it fun. I mean, seriously, you know how. I mean, you did it while you were dating. Make things fun and compromise. As Lisa said, she's always been so, so good at this. But do what the other person enjoys doing. Do what they enjoy. Have fun together. And it's really easy for her because she was born and raised in fun country. So,
you know, love fun.
We just like to have a good time together. One way to do this, and we could talk, this is probably one of my favorite things, is you've heard this around this church, is date nights. Date nights. That is a way to cultivate and build and grow your friendship. We can't say enough about this. So get a babysitter. If you are an older couple in the church, have some free time, volunteer for some of our younger couples. Or maybe you're a teenager, a young adult in the audience. Be a responsible older brother and sister and offer to babysit for your parents. Give them some time alone to get away, maybe for an evening or maybe for the night or maybe for an entire weekend together. I love the fact that we live on the West Coast, y'all, and God gives us a free sunset every single night for free. I mean, it's just a quick little trip to get away. Through the years, we found cheap resort specials to be able to get away. We've had friends with condos who've been blessed us and been really great. We've even had cruises given to us, not by our own thing, but God just, I mean, I don't know, he just knows when, and it's just been an amazing thing. That's not maybe for everybody, but you do need help. And date nights is one thing that you can do. In your bulletins today, if you'll take a look on the flip side of those sermon notes, you'll find some ideas. You'll find some packets that we have prepared for you out at the Next Step station. Pick up one of those packets. Do some research and find out how you can have a date night. And something we're going to try to do, I'm a little nervous because I'm not sure how many people are going to help Lisa and I with this. But Friday night, November 16th. We're going to offer a date night for those of you with younger kids. For 4.5 hours, we're going to watch your kids right here at CCW for free. So you can sign up, drop them off. If you want to help watch kids, let me know. And if you're interested in that event, hey, take Friday night the 16th to have a date night together. Maybe that'll be helpful to you.
So a little known fact about how we started out. We knew each other 2 years, dated 2 years. But when it came time to talk about marriage, we knew we did not want to be engaged longer than we had to. So we wanted the least amount of time for the most we could get done. So we were engaged 4 months. The time it took us to get a wedding, get a dress, get the church, everything. Because we didn't want to put more temptation on ourselves than we needed to. Because we were ready to take that intimate friendship to the next level.
And that next level is?
Sexual intimacy.
Possibly. Okay, yeah, we were. So, and I just kind of want to say that, you know, we talk about sexual intimacy. Please know, you know, that as Lisa mentioned at the very beginning, intimacy is much more than sex. Mm-hmm. It's just being in the couch together, being able to just be together in an intimate way. But specifically, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, biblical marriage is clearly defined by God in the Bible. Sex was created by God for husbands and for wives to celebrate together in the context of biblical marriage. God made it. God filled the Bible full of teaching about sex, and there's no better place than the church to discuss true sexual intimacy and what it is all about. So we go back to Proverbs chapter 5. All right, back to 5, where Solomon, man, he knew what he was talking about, and he wrote about it. I mean, he loved the wife of his youth. So let's read again, chapter 5, verse 19 of Proverbs. A loving doe, he says, a loving doe, a graceful deer. Okay, y'all, this is good poetry. Okay, guys, you can write this down, include this in your next little note, all right, at breakfast. I love you, my graceful doe. Okay,
not going to work.
All right, maybe it's just a cute nickname. I don't know, but he's got a point. He's got a point. Now, think about this for a second. Intimacy requires love, a loving doe. Grace. You don't just sneak up on a deer and jump on it. All right? If you ever hunted anything, you know that's not going to work. All right? Love. Listen, love. Grace. Okay? Tenderness.
Keep moving.
I'm trying. Okay.
Get verse out of 19. That scripture.
May her breasts. The next verse says, may her breasts satisfy you always. And I look, some of y'all just, what did he just say? All right. Start taking notes now. Wake up. Especially middle schoolers. Let her satisfy you. Let her satisfy you always. No one else is needed. Nothing else is needed. May her breast satisfy you always. That word satisfy, man, just to know that she is everything you need. If you're single, the person that God has waiting for you is everything you need. Let a screen is not going to satisfy you. An affair is not going to satisfy you. The wife of your youth, God says, let her satisfy you always, and may you ever be intoxicated with her love. This is a physical term. Means literally, that word intoxicated means to lose your way, lose your sense, that your inhibitions, to just be intoxicated with her love and in her love, to know that you can just lose yourself in that, always. And then he goes back to, and I want to look at verse 20, this serious warnings, because he goes back to these first 16, 17 verses where he started, and he asks two very important questions. Why? Why, my son? Why be intoxicated with another man's wife? Why? Why? Why embrace the bosom of a wayward woman, a strange woman you don't even know? He devotes Proverbs 5, 6, and 7 to this subject. Just flip look at what Solomon says. He gives this shout out, just this total warning against pornography. Why? Why adultery? Why would you want to find satisfaction, sexual satisfaction, with anyone else other than your wife? Why? Why? It's useless, it's dangerous, and it's foolish.
And I think here I need to talk to the women, because we wouldn't be discussing this in the church if it wasn't a part of our culture and it wasn't a part of the church. And that's a hard thing to set up here and think and talk through. But girls, if you are talking to someone of the opposite sex that is not your husband, if you are being emotional, if you are telling them your secrets, please stop. Please stop. You are on a slippery slope, no different than adultery, no different than these things. And I am crying out to you to heed these warnings and not make excuses for your need to communicate to another person of the opposite sex. Stop. Why?
Yeah. And God's clear. Look at those three chapters, Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. Lisa doesn't have to say it. Solomon says it loud and clear. Sex outside of marriage can steal your life, can steal your life away and lead you to hell. His words. So stop. Why? Why do it? And if you're struggling with this, or this is something you have a question about, get help. Find the answers you need. Find the help you need. Your spouse, your future spouse, they're begging you to do this, to get help. Please do not let your desire for physical sex ruin intimacy with the one that it was created for. You know, in the beginning, going all the way back to Genesis, and we've talked about this in weeks past, God said that man would be united with his wife and the two would become one flesh. And later, Jesus himself would teach this when he talked about marriage. The two would become one flesh. So what does the devil do? What does Satan do? Chris talked about this last week. the great job. Satan has a strategy to ruin what God made and to get us to push God aside and put ourselves first. So what he does is that he does everything he knows how to do to get us to sin and have sex before marriage. And then once we're married, he does everything he can to get us to stop. To stop making love and having sex. The devil will do everything he can to mess up what God made for good. But make no mistake, God did make it. And he made it for good, for some very, very good reasons.
All right. The first one is procreation. I read in a book this week that was really good. It said that when it says be fruitful and multiply in 1:28, the author said when you think of this, it's probably the only command that God's children have consistently done well. It's the only one we've been good at, is be fruitful and multiply. Second is pleasure. The Song of Songs says a lot about that, and I think I'm going to keep this very minimal, but we've had so many conflicting voices in our life, whether we are told it's good, it's bad, all these things that are just in this stew pot of this pleasure principle of godly sexual intimacy. So lovemaking creates life, deep knowledge, deep pleasure, and even comfort. And what I'm going to ask is, wives, go from if you are at the unwilling stage, take willing to even better, to maybe eager. So enjoy.
Not a single amen from any of the guys in the room. Y'all getting like elbows or what? Look.
No.
It's
no.
We don't have to say pleasure's part of this, and we just praise God for that. He didn't have to make it that way. Solomon uses words like enjoy and rejoice. I mean, it's cool. And it goes beyond that. It's actually, when you think about it, and I wrote the word purity, because marriage is pure. In fact, we think about sexual intimacy, Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. Yes, God is going to judge the adulterer and the sexually immoral, but making love, being a husband and wife and having this relationship, there's freedom there. There's purity there. And it's unifying. It's true unity. Husband and wife think about this, but you can't fit, don't think about too long, but you can't physically get any closer, any closer than making love. And it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity to love each other, intimacy, to serve each other selflessly, to trust, to respect in a way that no other, like no other, to be one as God designed it to be intimate. You know, one of the many teachings that God gives us in the Bible about this comes from the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're not going to get into this too deeply today. I just want to read it. Lisa's going to read it to you. And it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. Listen to what God says.
The husband should fulfill his marital duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but yields it to her husband. In the same way, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but yields it to his wife. Do not deprive each other except perhaps by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control.
You see it? You see it there? I mean, there's unity, it's purity, the pleasure there. He kind of encapsulates all of this in one verse, in one passage in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 7, 3 through 5. And there's many others like it. I know it's deep stuff and it's things that, you know, that we don't talk about a lot, but what do we do about this? I mean, how does this enhance and grow our marriage? We don't just want to be just married. We want to be like just married, you know? So how does this happen? Well, one thing is to beware of intimacy killers. Beware of intimacy killers. What kills intimacy? Have kids. Procreation. It's like, what happened? Like, you know, seriously, when you have kids, it's going to take some effort. You got to find a way anyway. One thing we found to be helpful is that we made a rule right away and stuck by it the whole time, no matter how hard it was, is that we would never allow kids in bed with us at night. In fact, there were many nights where our kids would find the door locked and they couldn't get in.
You know, you said that before. We didn't, just so y'all know, we didn't lock our door and lock our kids out of the room.
Oh, okay. Well, whatever. truth of the matter is, she didn't even know the door was locked because it's kind of hard on a mom. But anyway.
There you go.
The kids are grown and we've got a dog. And for a long time, the dog wanted to sleep in the bed with us. And no, sir. This is the marriage bed. All right? This is what, so no dogs, no kids. In fact, no distractions. I mean, how many times we let distractions get in the way of what, technology, work, we're too tired, the TV, no matter what it is, just kind of identify those things that are killing your intimacy and beware of those things and put a limit on them.
And I know you guys know, if you've been around circles before, to know women, the crock pot, men are the light switch, that kind of thing. But I think a very important one, an advice to men from a woman is don't look the other way. Don't look at another woman. Don't talk or even joke about celebrities or how they look, because even in joking, it matters to us. It matters to our self-esteem, and it may just crop back up years later. So that's just an important thing to me. Joe's been excellent at that our whole life, and it has given me such, I can't think of the word now, just confidence in this area.
Yeah, so important. And it's going to go along with, and I know it's kind of, it's kind of a touchy subject, but science is proving over and over and over again what God has warned us about all along. Looking at other women, looking at other men, looking at pornography is an intimacy killer. It is just, it's proven. Premarital sex. I know this is like, duh, but premarital sex, sex outside of marriage, affairs, physical affairs and emotional affairs take a devastating toll on the intimacy in your marriage. God can forgive. God heals. God helps us move through those things, but it will damage your intimacy. Do what you need to do to stay away from those things, those intimacy killers.
Okay, here comes your takeaway for the day.
I don't know what you're going to say. Which is no secret.
Flirt, pray, and enjoy. That is just, I took away young. When my youth director, her and her husband were flirtatious, and she talked about him when he wasn't in the room. She talked about how cute he was when he walked in the room. I knew I wanted a marriage like that because I thought, that's really cool. But here's your takeaway. This is the fun part. Plan and prioritize sex. Now this, guys, this is maybe too much information. It's going to be fun, but...
Wait a minute. Is this going to be literally too much information?
I'm going to...
See, we practice. We kind of know what we're going to say, but then I never know what she's going to say.
Okay, here's the first story. When we first got married, we heard a great idea that said, as a young married couple, every time that you make love, put a dollar in a jar... And then someday you can go to Hawaii or you can redo a kitchen. You can do anything, right? When you are in ministry making very little money with a child, we quickly realized that we were too poor for our own libido, if that makes sense. We could not afford that jar to put a dollar in every time. I don't know if we went to a quarter. I don't know if we went to 5 cents. I think we just gave up and went.
I don't know.
All right. So anyway, that's the first one. The second
quarter?
One. I think we did. I think we tried a quarter and that didn't work either. So anyway. All right. So here's another fun one.
That's a pretty good
Thank
idea.
You, my friend.
Maybe we should go back to that idea. We could like.
We never... will be dead by the time we get a trip. Okay, anyway, too much. The second one is, listen, here's a fun idea. Plan and prioritize that time. Now this, again, this is our calendar, okay? What we do with this calendar, I'm going to go to a December of this year, so you can't see anything. But we get these fun stickers, and every time it happens, we'll put a sticker on there. Now, the fun part is when you go and buy stickers that say something really funny on it, the better part of this whole plan and prioritize is the fact that our adult children walk in and out of our bedroom all the time, and they're like, oh, way to go, Mom, way to go, Dad. So you can kind of keep up with yourself and go, man, it's been a long week. It's okay, we need to Never mind.
Our kids got no business talking. We put them through college with that jar.
I'm kidding. Keep going. We got to keep going.
You know, our friend Andre, when we just talked about this, I mean, he kind of, you know, revived this whole idea of the calendar. But what it does is, too, is it just kind of lets you know, man, I mean, you know, dude, like it keeps you accountable a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, hey, what are we thinking? Like, we've been too busy. We've been too, we're just running, and it's been a while. Like, we need to plan this, prioritize this. I know it's, you know, we're supposed to be spontaneous, you know, and all this kind of thing. But, you know, we're adults here. I mean, sometimes you just got to work it into your schedule. You know, and it's a plan, it's a priority, and it's important to develop what God has made and what God has given us in this area. And it can be fun. It can be fun. But it's also not just fun, but it's also serious. You know, it's a serious business. I mean, if you have problems, again, whether it's with intimacy altogether, want to just let you know, you know, we're laughing a lot today, but we want to help you. You know, there's help out there. Maybe it's through a counselor, maybe it's through therapy, or maybe just grab a book. And, you know, and just kind of find some ways to find some answers there. And maybe your calendar just represents a good conversation, you know, or, you know, a time you just sat on the couch for a few hours and, you know, and hugged each other. Whatever it is, be able to make it fun, but be able to help, you know, get help and get some ideas and celebrate what God has given you. it's kind of sad when we can't celebrate the gift of sex because it's gotten such a bad rap in the world today. It's messed it all up. I mean, you don't have to turn on the TV very long to know that the world has taken what God has made and twisted it up, made it dirty, ugly, wrong. Somehow it's become this industry. It's all about you and me. It's just making it all about ourselves. It's about getting and not giving. And that is just not biblical. It's not what God intended. Sexual intimacy in a biblical marriage is between a husband and a wife. And it is a miracle. It's pure. It's a gift. It's beautiful. It's righteous. Mm-hmm. It's holy. And it's also free. So don't make it about you. Give to each other selflessly. Honor God with the gift. And I know there's some hurt in this place today. I know that, you know, maybe the relationships you've had in the past or the things you've been through have caused some pain in your life. No matter what your experience is, know that God makes all things new. Start over. And when we do it his way, and something you and I can all decide to do starting today, when we do things his way, we can celebrate even sex for what God created it to be.
And I think what's amazing, I know, especially for those that have no belief maybe in the room today, or this is your first time, this is foreign. I get how foreign this might seem, and I get how foreign this might seem even in some Christian marriages. But the best part about transitioning through marriage in this ministry of marriage, of who we are, is it's about intimacy with God, our God. The seasons of marriage is learning intimacy with Joe. It also teaches me intimacy with my Father. A vital role. So the most important kind of marital intimacy is being one with God together. God sees us. He's with us. He's for us. He wants us what is best and knows what's best for our marriages. So go to him together.
Yep, that's why it's important to see how Solomon ends Proverbs chapter 5. Look at verse 21. He says, "For your ways are in full view of the Lord." Intimacy with God. In full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. God is involved. He cares. He wants to be intimate with you, with us, with our marriage. Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who are righteous run to him and are safe." Proverbs 3:5-6, a lot of you know this passage. It says, "Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." You know, here at this church, and I hope you know this, we care about marriage discipleship. We care about marriages. We want you following Jesus together in your marriages, putting God first, letting him direct your paths. As a married couple, you do this, man, it'll bring life to your family, to this church, to our community. It's something the whole world needs to see. A few ways we can do this, and we're just getting ready to wrap up kind of quick, and this is nothing new to you guys, but spiritual intimacy happens when we get intentional about it. Spiritual intimacy in our marriage. Make time, plan time to pray together. and make it happen. Pray time or plan time to read your Bibles together, to talk about your relationship with God together. And yes, even your sexual intimacy, even your friendship can be a matter of spiritual intimacy. Worship together. Many of y'all are here in church together today. Make that happen. Join a small group. Get involved. Maybe go to a retreat or find a way to just worship God together. Be spiritually intimate together and serve Him together in the community, maybe in this church. One thing Lisa and I got a lot of joy out of just recently too was serving together in the preschool with our three-year-olds back here. Just working and serving together, it was pretty cool. Be hospitable to others. I mean, this is, something Lisa loves to talk about. Hospitality, opening our home and doing things for people that way.
And I cannot emphasize enough, when I was a young Christian, when we first got married, a very seasoned, mature Christian said, your marriage is as good as your personal relationship is with the Lord. It's up to you, Lisa, to cultivate that. And I can tell you, I honestly haven't always cultivated that, and it's mattered. In my marriage, it's mattered. My quiet time with the Lord, my intimate time with the Lord matters to my marriage. So know that your personal time is important. I have three books I want to give you. They're up here on the stage if you want to come up and write them down. But The Mystery of Marriage by Mike Mason, Sacred Marriage by Gary Thomas, and Intimate Issues, 21 Questions Women Ask About Sex. These three books are very, very good. They're good to spark a lot of what we've talked about today in your marriage and being sacred and being holy.
Yeah, Lisa brought this to me last night, said God didn't design marriage to compete with Himself, but to point to Himself. Mm-hmm. It's so important. We worship God in our marriage. And as we kind of wrap up today, just a word real quick to you who are single. If you're single and following Jesus, this is a deal breaker or a deal maker. If you're attracted to a person who's not a Christ follower, swipe left. Get out of you really need to think hard about this. It is hard enough to have a spiritual, intimate relationship with someone who is a Christ follower. It takes work. If you're involved with somebody just that's not helping you be intimate with God in your relationship, it's not willing to worship with you, go somewhere else. Don't go there. Please hear me, man. It's hard and it's worth doing it. Trust God to bring you someone that you can worship with. And remember that you belong to Him first. I know we all want to be loved. We all want to be, it's so important. But I can tell you, Lisa and I would not have gotten married if we would have had sex before marriage. Because God comes first. And as a sure sign, I wouldn't want to be sitting here and without this woman. I'll tell you, make the decision that you are going to be happiest about 5 years, 10 years from now, and you won't regret it. You won't regret it. That's what this is all about. Proverbs wants to help us sort this out, to help our marriages be what He created them to be. So don't be just married. Be just married. And I'm going to ask you guys, if we can, just to kind of think about this for a second, but we're going to stand, we're going to sing a song, but intimacy with God means being intimate with God in front of or intimate with God in front of each other, with each other, and being intimate with each other in front of God. It's an amazing gift, this whole idea. So just know that there's no truer intimacy than the fact that Jesus, God in the flesh, came from heaven to earth to live a life, perfect life, and die on the cross for your sins, to rise from the grave, so that you could be called His bride. You're called the bride of Christ. There's nothing more intimate than that. He wants to have a relationship with you that is strong, that is intimate, that is pure. The Bible teaches us that when we leave our old life behind, that's called repentance, and we're baptized into Christ, that we become one with Christ. It's like a wedding ceremony. He even uses that language. So today, man, maybe you've been dating Jesus. Maybe you've been thinking about Him. Maybe you've been just kind of, wandering around, wondering who. Maybe it's time to commit your life once and for all and forever to Jesus. Maybe it's time to get married to the Savior. Maybe it's time to be baptized into Christ and walk out of here a brand new person. And I pray that you will give your marriage to Him, that you will give your life to Him because of His amazing love for us. Let's go ahead and stand together, and we're going to sing the song. Just make this your prayer. And if you want to pray together, you want to talk together, you know, our prayer partners are going to be up here. We'll be up front. We'll be glad to meet with you and talk with you after the service today. But let's go ahead and pray and sing. Father God, we love you so much. And I just thank you for the gift that you've given us of your son, Jesus. I can't even imagine but life without him. Because of your amazing love, we can know Jesus, be one with him, and live our lives for him. And he gives us gifts like this woman standing next to me. So thank you. Thank you for the marriages in this room, God, and I pray for them. I pray that you would give them strength. And God, I pray for those who are waiting and those who are praying for that person in their life. God, give them strength. And God, I pray that as we sing to you now and as we pray to you now and as we leave this place, God, that we will be the people you created us to be and to know your love in a strong, amazing, powerful way. We love you, God, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing.